everybody, and welcome back to the Best with Body podcast. I'm Elle, and I have my co-host Jules here with me today, and we are going to be talking about creating healthy habits. Last week, we covered sleep, hydration, and comparison, and this week, we're going to be talking about the meatier subjects within this, nutrition and exercise. So I'm excited to talk about it today. These are definitely deeper conversations, and we're going to be covering a lot of different aspects of creating habits surrounding the really important parts of fitness, really. So, Jules, how are you?
I am doing fabulous. I am so happy to be here with you again on this day that we're going to share some information. And I think it's really important when people talk about creating habits, sometimes people are creating new habits. Sometimes people are changing old habits. Sometimes people are melding things together to improve the ultimate goal of a healthier life. So we did cover those other three topics, as Elle mentioned. So if you haven't listened to those, as soon as you're done with this podcast, I suggest if you have not listened to it, you go ahead and listen to that one that was just uploaded before this one comes out. So Elle, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I've got all my healthy habits in line for the start of the fall, and summer was fun. And we always say this, these episodes you should be able to listen to them at any time of the year. But what's nice to note that we're heading into Labor Day at this point. By the time you guys hear this, it will be just after Labor Day. So it will be a good time for you to kind of assess. Sometimes this is the time of year where your schedules change and you're expected different places at different times. And the best thing that you can do is come up with a routine that's going to have you feeling productive and feeling good. Because most people, when they talk to me about their fitness goals and they talk to me about whatever their lifestyle is, they're always much happier when they do have a routine where they're treating their body well, where they are exercising. It doesn't have to be an intense amount of exercise. It could just be a regular 2 to 3 days a week. And they always feel better when they're not eating out all the time and they're able to do some meal prep and they're cooking dinners for themselves. So, you know, it's a good time to talk about this. So I am excited.
Yeah, I agree. And I was just sharing with Elle a few minutes before we started recording about how I was out this morning dragging my trash cans out as I do every Tuesday morning. And I saw school buses going by. And I thought to myself, oh, you know, everybody's getting ready to go back to school. And now that, you know, my kids are all grown up, I don't have that same reminder, except for if I see something externally there. But we in the health and fitness industry also know that there are fairly common times of the year that people step back and start to reassess where they are and where they want to be. So if you are finding yourself in that frame of mind, whether it is back to school or this is appropriate also for all those people at the beginning of the year, they find that as a good time to, you know, sort of hit that restart button. Anytime is a good time to hit that restart button. But we do find that most of us have these little cycles in our lives where we want to step back and look at what we're doing. Is it really meshing with what we want from our lives, what we want from how we feel we want to continue moving forward through our days and weeks and months and years. So again, we have a lot of information to cover, and this, we're going to try to hit upon some factual things, but some of it is just going to meld together as well, because we call this, you know, loosely habit stacking, where you take one habit and it feeds onto another habit, but it all really starts from making that decision on what are you going to do. So we thought we'd jump into the exercise first, because exercise for many people is a little more cut and dry than the nutrition. So being able to hit that restart button is a little easier because, you know, you can exercise in a little compartmental segment of your day versus nutrition. You're kind of bombarded with it 24/7.
Yeah. And I think a good place for us to start not touching cardio necessarily and not touching resistance training or any type of high intensity type of exercise, strength training, and kind of cover daily activity real quick. And just basically reminding our listeners that if you are somebody who is, you know, not everybody uses a step tracker, not everybody uses their phone to track their steps, but it's one of my favorite things to be able to get an idea when I'm, you know, working with a new client. I always like to get an idea of how much daily activity are you getting? If they're coming to me and they're saying, oh, I'm not really working out. So in terms of daily activity, is there a way that you suggest that any of our listeners kind of assess that, even if they don't have a step tracker? I guess there's certain ways to think, okay, how many hours a day am I sitting at my desk? Do you have any advice for that before we kind of give suggestions on where to go from there?
Yeah, no, that's really a great concept. You know, again, it starts with this being aware and making that decision. So it is a little bit of effort, and it may depend on the kind of day you have. So for example, if you are at work and you spend your day sitting at a desk, think about maybe having a little notebook next to you. And every time you stand up, you just put a little check mark, a little tick. And, you know, those little ticks that you put four slashes in the diagonal to make it five. And just get an idea of like how many times do you get up from your desk within your work day. That's a good place to start to give you an idea, because when you're working, you know, if you have a job, usually it takes up about 8 hours of your day. And then if you have a commute on top of that, you know, are you actively walking in your commute, or are you sitting? Are you driving or on a train or a bus, that kind of thing, or a passenger in a car? So think about how many times do you actually physically straighten your legs up, you know, and then you can launch off from there when you're getting an idea of the bulk of your day. Then you can think about, well, what do I do in the morning? Are you running around taking care of things, or do you just get up, shower, and get out the door? So I always love those little notebooks. I'm such an old school person. These little spiral notebooks you can get on Amazon for like 10 for, you know, whatever cheap amount. Or, you know, there's trackers on your phones as well. But sometimes just having something nearby your computer, your workstation. So you go, okay, I'm just going to make a little note on that. And then for those who are busy through the day, maybe at the end of the day, just sit back and say, oh, you know, I did X, Y, and Z, and that happened from 9 to 11 in the morning. And then give yourself just an idea of like, how often are you just physically moving?
Yeah, that's a great place to start. And to build on that, you know, if you are somebody, okay, I've been tracking how many times I've been getting up, say I get up 20 times throughout my 8-hour workday. And I've never actually counted how many times I've gotten up from a seated position while working. But you can also start to think, okay, how many times am I getting up to use the bathroom? How far is the bathroom from my desk? Am I going to maybe do a loop around the office just to stretch my legs out? Am I going to bring a smaller water bottle to work so that when I finish it, you know, maybe it's a 16 fluid ounce water bottle, I'm going to go do a lap and fill up my water bottle? Little things like that. And also other small little habits that you can do just to increase your daily activity. Take the stairs. Unless I'm carrying something or have like a suitcase with me, if something is only 3 stories up, I take the stairs instead of the elevator. And so sometimes giving yourself little parameters where if there is something on the 3rd floor, well, anytime it's on the 3rd floor or below, I'm going to take the stairs, not the elevator, unless I'm carrying groceries or whatever the case is. Even like, this is more of like a safety thing, like parking away far, like in the furthest parking spot. I don't ever really park in the furthest parking spot in certain areas unless it's broad daylight or whatever and there's tons of cars around. But thinking about, are you parking in that first spot so you have to move as little as possible? These are small little habits. And, you know, just like the other episode that we just did, these aren't new things, but these are things that we just want to kind of lump all into one place to have you thinking and to remind you, oh, okay, I guess I could take the stairs. I guess I could maybe walk a little bit if you have the time. Anything else about?
Yeah, that? Yeah. No, and a couple things, actually, you know, when people will often notice that they've had a period of time and then suddenly they've put on a few pounds. And one of the things that I often will ask them, like, what has changed in your activity? And this is not an uncommon thing, especially, you know, we're still in the throes of the pandemic, although we're moving around a lot more. So during the time where everybody was working remotely, and many people still are, so your activity over a long period of time, maybe it didn't feel as if it was a big change, but those small changes, because now you're working from your home, and as Al mentioned, the bathroom may be just right next to your home office versus maybe you had to walk around half of a building to get to the restroom. So those little things may not seem like a lot at one time, but they will add up over time. Another big one is when often we'll have college kids, you know, I call them college kids, but adults who go from their college years, then they go to an office job and the pounds start to come on because they used to walk around campus and now they don't walk anyplace. So getting that just really up and moving around is an important thing. So, you know, being aware of that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. When I was in high school, I think I was going into my junior year, maybe. I went to Spain for 2 weeks and we just walked around the city all the time. And I came back from that trip and I was like, whoa, I am thin. Like, I remember coming back and being a little surprised at how thin I was. And I was eating. I was even, you know, drinking alcohol. And I wasn't going to the gym. I mean, that was a point. I was younger, but it does remind me that that was such a change from my everyday life. That was 2 weeks of walking a mile to the school twice a day and then walking back to the host family where I was staying and then going and doing, you know, lots of exploring and things like that. And that was all steps. And so I remember coming back and being like, that was my first experience of, whoa, just activity and just being busy and things like that can really change, not necessarily even changing what you're eating or exercising, but just that simple daily activity. That's why I love steps. I love encouraging clients to just move throughout the day. And I would rather have somebody have a step goal and cardio 3 times a week for 30 minutes and have a step goal for all their other days, including their cardio days. They seem the happiest because they're not spending an hour plus on a treadmill or an elliptical or a bike every day. They're just moving around more.
Just moving. Yeah. Just moving is exercise. And we've said this before in previous podcasts. Exercise, when you're building the habit of exercise, it's different from a specific training. So we're not talking about specific training. We're talking about the activity, the movement activity, and getting used to having the personal reminder to get up and move. And from there, once you move more, your body almost seems to crave a little bit more movement. So it does become easier. It just, you got to remind yourself. And there are times, you know, you may be stuck in meetings all day and you can't get up. So then you have, if you have that step goal, it hopefully will encourage you to look at where you are by a certain point in the day and say, oh, I think I just need to go for a walk. And maybe I got to pick up the pace a little bit to get those steps in a little faster. So you can see how just being aware of that activity, setting it as a benchmark, then, you know, you become motivated to hit that simple little thing. And then you realize there are maybe times where you have to kind of push it a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you know what? You're just going for a little power walk.
Yep. And kind of what you said about craving the activity. And we'll move on to exercise, the other aspects of exercise here in a second. But the thing about craving that activity is that you are not going to always have to track the steps because your body is going to naturally start to move more. And so this kind of goes with what we'll also talk about with the nutrition and creating a healthy relationship with food and then understanding food, whether that is through tracking macros or if it's through tracking calories, however you do want to do it. But it is something that once you build these habits, it becomes less of the obsessiveness of the tracking because I can't identify with the people that worry or feel overwhelmed with all of the tracking of all of the things on top of all of the other things going on in your life. We get it. When we are talking about all of these things in the very technical terms, the tracking and the keeping track and the data and all of this can be overwhelming at first, but It is. It's once that habit is created, once you know what it feels like to move your body, 8,000 steps, 10,000 steps, you're going to know what it feels like when you have a 2,000 step day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, also the steps or the activity, the act of moving improves oxygen supply to your brain. So, you know, you're getting a lot of those benefits. And I'm sure, you know, this is hopefully preaching to the choir, but for those people who may not really think about it, it's like you just get the blood pumping, you're going to get more oxygen to your brain. You're going to be able to think better. So if you're working on a mental task and you think, oh, I really can't break away, I really need to focus in on that. And if you find yourself struggling, get up and walk around literally a minute or two of a good movement. And I'm not talking about going and sprinting down the hall or outside your office. I'm talking about just getting up and doing some stretching and moving around, you know, can get that oxygen supply to your brain. And you will find that you think clearer. I know I have my certain office days that I sit and I just am literally, my face is planted in my computer for hours, but I need to get up and remove myself for a few minutes. And it doesn't mean that I'm not actively still thinking. I'm actually thinking better about what I am going to attack, you know, with my work, because I've given myself a little bit of a movement break and it's allowed my brain to think better. But you're going to get more balance, you're going to get more muscle strength just from doing that, especially if all you've been doing really is leading a sedentary life.
Yeah, so let's move on to cardio. And this is going to be a little bit more challenging because everybody is going to have a different goal. But if you are somebody who hasn't been doing any cardio whatsoever, you know, I think a great place to start would be the steps and something like getting a good idea about how many steps you are taking without the cardio, and then maybe setting a step goal and then seeing, okay, well, if I do a 30-minute walk on the days where I have my long computer days, my long work days, that will help me get my steps. And that's usually my first place to start. Sometimes I'm just like, listen, just get 3 days, 30 minutes, maybe 4 days at 30 minutes. You know, if you're somebody that does like to do like a spin class or something, maybe it's 2 spin classes a week, because those can end up being like 45 minutes to an hour. And then maybe, you know, 2 walks to add in there. It really is about, okay, what have you been doing? How can we add a little bit without adding too much? Because at the end of the day, I know a lot of people listening could say, I could do 5 days of cardio a week. I could do 6 days of cardio a week. And that usually comes from somebody who's eager to make changes. So you're very excited about it. But is it realistic? Is it something that you're going to be able to do time and time again? And for most people, the answer is no. 6 days a week, especially if you're coming from nothing. And we're going to talk about adding weight training on top of it. And we're going to talk about nutrition on top of it. Where is really that good place to start?
Yeah. And I think you indicated or were directing into a good part of this is finding ways to increase or expand this habit. Again, whether it's a new habit, changing an old habit, or expanding upon a current one, is where are you going to get the time from it? So if you have to start to throw 6 days of cardio in and you just kind of throw it in, you hopefully will have spent some time to figure out where you're going to carve it. But if you're really at the point where you say, I don't really have the time, start small. You know, start with that 3 times a week, 20 minutes. And once you go, oh, I can do 3 times a week, 20 minutes, suddenly 25 minutes, 3 times a week isn't so bad. 30 minutes. Okay, I can see this now. Maybe I can add a fourth day. So that's how you really start that new introduction to something, with that initial push and then realizing that that is realistic and obtainable. Then you can see it's so much easier just to expand upon that. What about finding ways to be active or get those steps in if you don't have, you feel like you don't have the time? What do you think about breaking up 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think it's great. I don't really care in which way somebody does it. You could do it in the morning, first thing when you wake up. You could get the majority of your steps done first thing in the morning. You could do it on your lunch break. And this works for any type of exercise too. So say you are somebody who doesn't have a routine right now, and you can realistically only think about two times during the day where you have 15 minutes. Great. You want to know what I want you to do for those two 15-minute slots? Exercise for 10 of them, whether it is cardio for 10 minutes or it's, you know, body weight strength training for 10 minutes. Some is better than none. And I will always say that to people, even for people that say, you know, I just wasn't motivated to go to the gym and I just can't seem to get myself there. And I say, next time that happens, I want you to go to the gym and I want you to just walk on the treadmill. And I want you to just physically get into the gym and walk on the treadmill for 10 or 15 minutes. And at the end of that 15 minutes, ask yourself, am I ready to go home or can I go and do two shoulder exercises? Can I go and do three sets of leg press? And even if that's all that you do that day, a lot of times it's getting there, which is the hardest part. And then once you get yourself moving. And so I think splitting it up, whatever it is, whether it's just walking or whether it is some sort of strength training, I think that's fine.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I'm going to even take this back a step to somebody who can't find the time to actually get to the gym.
Yeah.
You can do so many things at home. You don't even need to work out hard enough that you have to change into gym clothes when you're first getting started. Yeah. You can just take that walk. You don't have to be super sweaty. You can do some push-ups against your desk just to feel the stretch of your shoulders and your chest. You know, you can do some squats, air squats in your office. You know, you close the door, or even I know sometimes when I used to work in an office, I would just go into the bathroom and just, you know, move for a few minutes. And it just can remind you how good moving your body feels. And that's where I really think when we're looking at getting started again with exercise or building upon, maybe you're only getting to the gym once a week, but you know that that's not enough. How else can you squeeze things in?
Yeah. And so I think it's a good time. I think we covered the cardio situation. It really is just assessing where you're at, seeing where you can realistically add in a couple days, and really don't try to do it for every single day. But talking a little bit more about the strength training and the exercise, especially if you are trying to create a new habit of getting to the gym and being consistent to it. And when I say getting to the gym, this can be working out at home. This can be even no equipment. This just exercise that's not cardio. So I may say getting to the gym, but know that this is kind of covering anywhere you're going to go for this workout. I think the first thing that we should talk about is not viewing exercise as punishment. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something that we've definitely talked about before, but it's such a common thing that I see from people. And I do feel like nowadays people are trying to shift their view from, you know, I exercise because I want to move my body and I want to fuel it and I want to feel good and I want to move. But there is still that piece that people do exercise. They don't love it. They may not enjoy it. And they do it because they're kind of trying to make up for maybe the way that they ate over the weekend or maybe the way that they ate over the summer. So what's your advice there when we're talking about trying not to view exercise as punishment when we're trying to incorporate it back into our routine?
Yeah, that's, again, another great thought, because there are people who also have taken some time off of exercise, maybe for illness or injury, and getting back into it is tough. You know, it's tough. You know that it's going to feel like you're creaky and rusty, and you know that some soreness is going to come with it. But I think what I like to remember is that our bodies are amazing machines. And the things that we do, again, this is a motivation for why we want to improve our health. We want to appreciate what we can do here and now, but also embrace the idea that you always have an opportunity to improve upon it. And that shouldn't be your first goal. Your first goal is to really just be in the process of movement and feeling it, because, you know, I'm sure some of you are sitting and listening to this. Maybe some of you are listening to this while you're actually exercising. But if you're just sitting to, you know, just give yourself a good stretch, and you know how great that feels. So when you are getting back into it, or at a point where maybe you have been exercising, but it's time to, you know, raise the bar a little bit, remember that, you know, sort of embrace where you are and know that your body has the capacity and the capability to do a little more, to be a little better. And I think that's a really good reminder for somebody who is struggling with that. Ugh, I got to get started on this. You know, it's just remind yourself that wherever you are now, just the real actions that you're going to do are going to take you to feeling better immediately.
Yeah, I think with the exercise, and I'm always, because the way that, you know, we work with clients, Jules these days has many more of the competition clients than I do. I mean, she's got plenty of the lifestyle clients as well. But, you know, ever since COVID and schedules changing and all that, I haven't had many competition prep clients. And so I've been working with a lot of these, you know, we call them basic training. There are lifestyle clients. So just people looking to, you know, improve their health and follow a program and just feel good in all sorts of different ways. I get a lot of clients who need that routine. They're signing up because they want to be structured. They want to have a program to follow. They want the accountability. And many times, you know, their first week in, you know, they're excited. They're doing great. They're hitting all the marks. And, you know, they slip in a little, I'm really eager to see changes. I'm really excited. You know, I'm getting a little impatient, you know, and they kind of laugh at themselves a little bit. Like, I know I need to wait, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm usually on the side of, hang on, keep showing me and showing yourself, you know, it's more of showing yourself that you can do what we've, you know, given you. It is 4 days of lifting and maybe 3 days of cardio. And maybe you have a step goal and, you know, you're tracking your food and you're covering all that. Show me that this is a breeze for you and show yourself. It's about showing me because I'm the one that's making the program and making the adjustments, but prove to yourself that this is something that's realistic for you. And if I find that what we have set as this baseline isn't enough, then I will change it. But a lot of times I have to say, just be patient. We don't have to do more. More isn't necessarily better. And I think that's really the point that we want to make about the exercise and the weight training, the strength training, is that more isn't better. Same thing with the cardio, finding that baseline, finding something that's realistic. Because I've had plenty of people say to me, I want to lift 6 days a week. And I very, very rarely allow that to happen. So, you know, unless somebody is a very advanced lifter and it's just the way that they've always been and they've shown me that that's the way that they exercise, I have one client that I allow to lift 6 days a week.
Well, I do think that you have to be a couple things. You have to build into a lot of things if you, you know, from where you are currently. And we had mentioned this in the last podcast about comparisons and what not to do. And one thing that I find can be a detriment for people is that they try to compare themselves to with exercise, especially with what they did at a previous time. So it may be a realistic goal for you to work back to that. It all depends on where you are now and what you are doing before. But realize, and again, this goes back to me mentioning about reminding yourself where you are now, and it is going to be a forward progression, but keep in the back of your mind, yes, at one point in time, because it is your history that you did X, Y, and Z, and if that made you feel absolutely fantastic, it could be a realistic goal to be working towards that, but to jump in and do that right away may just set you up for frustration. So setting those things, and if you have a week that you set out and you said, I'm going to do three times a week, I'm going to get that in. And then you prove yourself, okay, you can do that three times a week. I'm going to shoot for four times a week. Well, go ahead and shoot and see if four times a week does work. But if you hit on three, hey, you know what? You gave yourself a stretch, but you still accomplished a baseline. So it's so good, I think, when you set some of these new parameters that you do have your reach parameter and you're okay, this is the minimum that I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to push myself for, because I think it's important when you make any habit change that you set yourself up for success.
Yeah, I like what you said about that, about having a reach goal, because, you know, the truth is like, we don't want to just do the bare minimum, right? Like, we do want to push you and you want to push yourself and you want to accomplish things, but it really is about those stepping stones. You know, it's like a ladder. You know, you can't jump ahead. You do have to take every step on that ladder. And in order to do that, you know, you have to take things slow. And if you find there's 1 week where you can really make that push and you want to push yourself, great. Amazing. You know, it's not that I don't believe that people can work hard and follow an intense program and things like that, but I've seen too many people fail. And, you know, that's a tough word, but when people do fail in things that they set out to do, because they try to go the extra mile without getting that foundation down first, most people, oh, it's just too hard. I just can't make it work. And then they give up. And so this is kind of, and the way that I look at it is kind of the way that we can help you to prove to yourself that you can accomplish something that you set out to do, and that because you were consistent and you were, you know, you build confidence and you Absolutely. Build confidence in yourself. And so I think that's going to kind of round out the discussion on the exercise. I'm sure there's more we could talk about. So if you have anything that you want us to cover, just shoot us a message and we can talk about anything. But let's move into nutrition, because this is something that most people do struggle with. This is probably one of the more difficult things. I think when people fall off the track, I guess, with their exercise goals, it's one thing. It is hard to get back into it. But nutrition, man, you got to eat every day. So even if you're not, you know, if you're not exercising, that's one thing, but you have to eat. So it's kind of talking about what to be eating and how to manage that if you are trying to make some changes. So where do you think we should start?
Well, I think when we talk about this concept of changing our nutrition to improve our health, I think it really comes, you have to have a come together moment with yourself and look at your daily habits, because the specifics of the nutrition is going to be very, very specific to you. It's going to be specific to what your needs are. It's going to be specific to what your likes are. But you have to look at, what are the habits that you are currently doing related to your food specifically, because we separated the exercise part, but specifically with your food, that are holding you back or holding you in place for making forward progress. And so what I'm talking about is habits such as buying a lot of processed foods or doing a lot of quick on-the-go meals that are out. So if you are looking at those and you're saying, okay, can I reduce the amount of processed foods? Can I reduce the amount of times that I'm doing takeout food? Can I have more control over my choices? So that's the first thing, is looking at what can I do in my habit, in my grocery shopping habit, in my, you know, to out to eat food type of habit, in my social eating habits, those kinds of things. And then the next thing is, and there is so much research done on eating behaviors and looking at simple things that you might change to increase your awareness of what you're eating. So, for example, I encourage anybody that I'm working with to actually eat their food and eat their food and not do a lot of other activities at the same time. So what that means is not eating in front of the TV, not eating in front of your phone while, you know, you're scrolling social media.
That's such a hard thing
it's
to do.
And
I don't mean to interrupt you, because I know that this is a great kind of thought train, but this is so, so common. And I mean, I do it too. Like, what's the YouTube video I'm going to watch? Or what's the podcast I'm going to listen to? Or I'm not a big TV person, but I'm like, plenty of people are. And my YouTube and my podcast is their TV. And, you know, I remember years ago joking with somebody about, like, no, I have to make sure that, like, I am set to hit play on whatever it is that I'm watching, so that right when I sit down to take my first bite, it's all set up so I can watch something. And I think it's a little bit harder if you're somebody that, like, lives alone and eats alone. I think that but I know plenty of people that, you know, with their significant other, they pop on their TV show because it's the end of the workday and they want to eat dinner and stuff. So that's great. So I just had to say that, because so true.
It is so very true. And so when I talk about this, I'm going to try to give you something really a little bit more concrete. And with food, because it is such a sensory thing, that it is really important, probably one of the least affected senses is the sense of sound. So if you're eating and I love crunchy things, so I do enjoy hearing crunch, but I can hear crunch over music playing. I can hear crunch.
So, I can't hear the TV if I'm crunching on something. So
I usually recommend that you look at your food, that you sit down with your food in front of you. And if there's, you know, a podcast playing in the background or TV in the background or a YouTube video in the background, that is probably not going to distract you as much from your eating. But things like, you know, eating while you're walking, eating while you're driving, eating while you're physically doing something else. Try to look at your food. Try to taste your food. Try to smell your food. Try to actively engage in the eating process.
Chew
your food and taste your food. And so many of us eat, you know, on the run, you know, because we are pressed for time. You know, so many people that we work with, they'll say, oh, I don't really get a lunch time. And so I have to eat at my desk while I'm working. It probably would only take you about 10, 15 minutes to shut your computer off, clear a little space, make your meal feel a little bit more like you're just attending to your food. I think this is really important. And one of the things I actually even mentioned, I was talking to Elle about this a little bit earlier. One of the big conversation pieces we get with a lot of people these days is one of the goals is to improve their relationship with food. And I always ask, what does that mean? And I never really, for the majority of people, get a really hard answer from anybody what they think that is. And I believe that it really comes down to having that respect for what you're eating and what it can do for you, and also having the respect for your own personal emotions and feelings of what that food also does for you. So you can address those things so much better. I know if I'm going to sit down and have a comfort food, like we all have comfort foods and we want to eat them, I know I make an extra point to enjoy that comfort food and take all those senses, you know, that sort of sensory experience away so I can really enjoy that.
Yeah. And I think that the relationship with food is almost a little bit more about your relationship with yourself because, you know, Jules has joked before and kind of seriously, like it's a one-sided relationship. Like the food doesn't care about you. So it really is how you view the food. So it is the, you know, a one-sided relationship with food, but it's also about yourself. And when you can kind of, because it's easier said than done, right? So, but if you can start to shift your mindset away from and kind of separate the emotions, whatever's going on in your day with your eating. And I really think that taking what Joel said before, that separation of whatever else is going on in your life and then actually just sitting down and eating the food and enjoying the food, I think that's probably the best barrier to separate those emotions and start to create that separate relationship where there aren't emotions involved in it. And a lot of people do want to improve that relationship with food, but it really kind of starts with what's going on in your day, what's going on in your head, and what are you using food to kind of fill? Are you going to it when you're stressed? Are you going to it when you're lonely? Are you going to it because it tastes good? What are these things that you are experiencing when you eat, before you're about to eat, and after you eat? And what types of emotions are you feeling? Because there are emotions involved with eating. We don't just eat out of needing to survive these days.
Absolutely. And I do think that this comes down to understanding how you feel about the process of eating, the food prep process, all those aspects that go around the eating, and realize that if you have these emotions, then you can have some conflicts. And not only do we have people who have to say, no, you know, I don't want to, you know, have potato chips because I'm afraid of, you know, they become fearful that they will lose some control over it. And that's also that aspect of building that relationship of food. We work with a lot of people with different approaches to their foods, their emotions. And there are a lot of people who have fears about eating. different foods or eating in particular styles, whether it is avoiding foods or making sure that they have specific things in their daily life. So it becomes very complicated. So even working on changing, you know, I have some clients that I'm working on now that have a fear of food categories, just they're a little bit irrational and they address that they're irrational for them. You know, there are certain people that have to avoid foods for health reasons, but there are some people that have been dieting for so long. There's whole categories of foods, you know, that one time somebody told them to stay away from it and they did for so long. Now they're afraid. How do I even start incorporating some of these things back? So I think if you spend that time looking at how are you, what are your food behaviors, that will give you a good basis. Just like we talked about making note of what is your daily life with your activity. You have to acknowledge and be honest with yourself. You know, am I eating the majority of my food sitting in front of the TV when I'm home? Am I not even eating anything when I'm at work because I'm too busy? So realizing is one of the habits that you want to work on is taking a break and actually feeding yourself during the day.
Yeah, and I want to talk a little bit about the habits related to when people are eating, because I do find it to be very common for people that struggle with nutrition. They're generally not the people that wake up and have a breakfast, like a good, well-rounded breakfast. I really find the people that struggle the most are the ones that are grabbing a Starbucks sandwich on the way to work with a coffee and then not packing anything for lunch while they're at work, and maybe there's a fruit cup they can buy at the, you know, cafeteria or whatever. And then they're, oh, it's a frozen meal for lunch. And then maybe it's a protein bar and maybe some nuts and whatever's around. And then they get home and it's maybe they do hit the gym. And, you know, because their eating is kind of all over the place, they almost, it's almost that punishment of, well, I got to work out. And they'll go and they'll run for an hour or they'll do an exercise class or something like that. And then they'll get home and it will be like the highlight of their day because, well, they didn't eat anything all day and now they can eat whatever's there. And usually in this situation, when you are the person that isn't making breakfast at home and you aren't packing a lunch and you're not really planning ahead to make your day balance and have calories spread throughout the day, you're also not home eating a big salad with some chicken and having some fruit on the side and finishing off with like a protein smoothie or something like that. You know, I'm just using these as examples, but it is a very common eating pattern that I see. And the first thing that I do is I talk about breakfast. What's your morning like? And sometimes people will say, well, I don't have time in the morning. Well, listen, I'm sorry, but you have to make time. Like, that's literally skipping the first step of something that's going to be so beneficial for you in the long run. And yet people just tend to refuse to do that first step.
Absolutely. And I honestly think breakfast is the easiest meal to prepare and grab.
Yeah.
You know, and
even the night before.
And I do think this goes back to what are your, you know, what are your big goals? And if one of the goals is to have that balance, then you have to go and look at what is the quality of your food choices. How are you going to procure them, as I say? You know, how are you going to get them? Are you living from that meal to snack to meal and whatever is in front of you, you're just going to consume? And if you are living that way and you want to improve upon your healthy habits, it is going to take some effort to start to shift. And I think that's great, suggesting to people that they just start with that first meal. Come up with a couple of ideas that you know that you can wake up and have readily available. Many times people will say they're not hungry in the morning. And it's often because they're
overeating at night.
They're getting their caloric influx later in the day and your body gets used to that. So you may have to pull back a little bit on that extra food at night so you will wake up in the morning hungry. But also, I give the guideline of you don't have to eat the moment you wake up.
No.
You know, within an hour is usually a good time. It's when your blood sugar level is low and it is a good time to get some food into you to give you that energy to hold you through the day. And then from there, you'll be better fueled to make better choices.
Yeah. And the problem that I see a lot is that people just go straight for caffeine in the morning. And it's like, hey, you want to know what would give you energy? Calories. Yeah. You know, so maybe a balanced breakfast, you know,
with and your cup of coffee.
You can totally have coffee. I have no, and like we talked about briefly in the last episode a little bit about caffeine and not overdoing it. But if you are somebody that, well, I'm not hungry in the morning, okay, fine. Then you have a coffee or an energy drink or whatever it is. Maybe you drink green tea, whatever. But you're then pushing off that appetite even further. And so, yeah, maybe you do get to noon and you've only had 200 calories. This is the same cycle that we're talking about overeating at night, because you have to eat. You really do. And somewhere along the line, we were taught that the longer you can push off eating, the less calories that you'll eat. Your body is not stupid. Like, it is going to tell you you need to eat. And if you don't have any sort of preparation in terms of maybe stocking your fridge with fruits and vegetables, because I've told clients this before. I just had a client that we were talking about fiber, and she's asking me, well, what are the foods that are high in fiber? And, you know, I'm looking at her food log and I'm saying, well, you don't have any vegetables. You don't have any fruits in here. Okay, maybe you have a tortilla and that's got 17 grams of fiber, which is fine, but that's not the same thing. And so what I said to her was, I don't really care exactly what the fruits and the vegetables are quite yet, but I need you to start to incorporate them. And then, you know, I gave her some advice on which fruits and vegetables that she could add in that had higher fiber. And then she came back and she said, oh, I did a great job with fruits and veggies this week. And my fiber was way up there. And man, I just feel so full. And I said to her, because this was something that she had struggled with. And I said to her, if you were to eat 2,000 calories worth of fruits and vegetables, you would be so full. And then I said, if you were to eat 2,000 calories from the McDonald's menu, you could eat that, first of all, in probably less than 5 minutes.
Yes.
And you would be hungry. I mean, you'd probably feel a little sick, but you would be hungry 4 hours later, you probably would have a crash and you would end up eating a lot more. And so, you know, notice how when during this discussion, Jules and I haven't talked about, I did just talk about calories, but we haven't talked about tracking macros. We haven't talked about your macro goals, because these are habits and the macros and all that. So great if you are trying to get a little bit more specific. But what we're talking about now is looking at those habits. It's the same thing with sleep. It's the same thing with hydration. It's the same thing with exercise. What are you doing now? And what is holding you back? And what are some small things that you can stack on top of each other to eventually get to the place where you can be a little bit more specific with the calories? And this is why you'll hear people have a lot of success when they initially do something like cut out sugar or cut out, what are the things that people cut out? Like, it's just processed foods, things like that.
Well, a lot of times I'll have somebody tell me, oh, my doctor told me to cut anything white out of my food, which, you know, you think about it, it's like flour-based. So it's cookies, cakes, breads, pasta. And so when a whole category, everything on there white, which also includes cauliflower, apples, you know, and bananas. And there's nothing wrong with having some of those extra other things. But it is.
But again, they do mean the sugar and the flour and the processed sugar and the foods.
Right. And that's an easy kind of tip that sometimes as a general thing people will give. But if you cut them out, what are you going to replace them with? So it would be one of those things that, say, your office calls in pizza on Friday and you want to partake in it. But you know what? If you had an apple right before you went to the pizza event, you probably would eat a slice.
Yeah.
Less than you would have eaten, because you would have been full with some with a fruit with some fiber. So right there, you know, one apple is no way going to be as many calories as a slice of pizza. So these are like little tiny habits. If you can start to incorporate more of those fruits and vegetables into your day, you'll find you will eat less of those highly caloric foods.
Yeah. And just to go back to just to wrap up what I was saying about, you know, the people that do cut out those things, they tend to see that weight loss that happens pretty dramatically. That can happen first. And so that's why that's the habit change. And that's what we're talking about. And so those same people that, you know, they do cut out those full food groups and maybe right away, you know, within a couple weeks or short months, you know, they've lost 10 pounds, they've lost 15 pounds. That's when you can start to get a little bit more specific about the calorie intake and then the specific macros. Because the truth is that we talk about this often, is that there is that balance. It's very difficult to cut out entire food groups. That's why, you know, when we've talked about things like fad diets and trendy diets and things like keto or even paleo and other, you know, diets that cut out food groups entirely, a lot of times they are unsustainable. So when you can initially cut those things out, that's totally fine. But then if you do start to incorporate something like macros or calorie tracking, there's a way to add those things back into your diet once you do have kind of an understanding of the portion sizes and what is appropriate to fit in after you've had that base of those whole foods and you're really fueling your diet and your body with, you know, those whole foods. We call these, you know, the other foods, the fun foods, and they can make up, you know, a small percentage of your daily intake. But it doesn't mean you'll never have a cookie again, right?
Exactly.
So it's like you can have that cookie, but maybe it's once a week and maybe it's one cookie, or maybe it's, you know, a half a dessert that you split at dinner once a week, once a month.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And this again is another habit like we talked about, the exercise. Once you start, you have breakfast and then you start to realize, wow, you know, I really actually feel better eating a good breakfast, then that will hopefully encourage you then to eat a healthier lunch or adding in more variety of your wholesome foods. And then you think, oh, okay, well, you know what, I'm feeling really good. I know if I do go through the drive-thru at the fast food restaurant, yes, it's going to make it really fast and easy to get to soccer practice. But you know what? We're all going to feel better if maybe I packed some wraps for the kids to eat in the car on the way to their soccer game in the evening versus, hey, we're going to drive through at a fast food restaurant. So it does take that little bit of effort. But usually once you start doing a few things, then it will build on the rest. So you can approach a change to nutrition, you know, a whole hog, clean your refrigerator out, your pantry out, restock everything. But if you don't have the foundations of, well, I'm going to plan my meals, I'm going to do food prep, you know, and you know, cook all my food at one time, and you feel overwhelmed by that, I suggest you just take a step back and do some planning. What am I going to have for lunch? And like I use the example of the pizza party on Friday or the pizza Fridays at offices. And I know we work with a lot of people who work in environments where food is just around, you know,
Yeah. Teachers
going back to school. I must have had three teachers last week said, I just had to stay out of the teacher's lounge because this week everybody came in and brought in, you know, this is going to happen again. Halloween is
Always. Literally
around the corner. And then,
it's Christmas. Valentine's Day, and then it's candy for St. Patrick's Day, and
it goes on,
you know,
and on.
It never ends. And this
the
is what, yeah, and this is what
there.
We talked about too. And I don't remember if it was last episode or if it was, you know, we've definitely said this before, but there's never a good time. There's never a good time in terms of like there's no social events, there's not going to be food around you. There's never really going to be a great time to change your habits because there's always going to be something that tries to pop up and interfere with your goals. And so it's finding a way to navigate those things and say, okay, well, you know, I haven't really had any sort of like treats or indulgences, you know, this week. And okay, I know that they are going to do pizza on Friday. And so you think about it, okay, well, if pizza is at 5 p.m. on Friday, what am I going to eat for breakfast and lunch? And then even what am I going to eat if I get home and I'm still hungry? How am I going to balance my day so that I can enjoy the pizza? And the worst thing that you can do is say, oh, well, I'm just not going to eat anything all day and just so I can have the pizza. No, why don't you eat something healthy in the morning? Eat something, you know, that's going to have a lot of fiber in it, maybe some vegetables at lunchtime. Maybe you're going to have a protein bar as a snack before the pizza comes, and you're going to have two slices of pizza.
And then move on.
And then move on with your day. And I think that those are the hardest things for people to navigate because, you know, it's always this trying to restrict, because we know that calories add up. We know that an excess in calories is going to lead to the weight gain, or it's going to prevent us from the weight loss. And, you know, the exercise, unfortunately, isn't going to negate that. It's always going to be the control over the nutrition.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to bring up, because this happens a lot, and I'm going to touch upon this really briefly, is, although it deserves a whole other topic, which maybe we will, is peer pressure with habits. And I think we should just talk about it differently, because there's a lot of pressure for people in social environments to eat. And it's usually not eating healthy, like, don't come along with me and let's, you know, get a nice healthy salad. It's come on, let's go get, you know, nachos and, you know, come with me to go get ice cream. So thinking about when you are making these personal decisions, remember, they're your choice. They're not anybody else's choice. So whether you choose to exercise or you choose not to exercise, whether you choose to eat a balanced nutrition on a regular basis or you choose to not, these are the things you have to accept and own up to, but realize that you always have the opportunity to improve upon what you have done in the past and improve upon it to make you feel better.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that kind of covers the two of the heavier topics of these habit creation and getting yourself into the swing of things when you feel like, okay, maybe I could use a little bit of a reset. And so, you know, there's always more we could talk about here, and we'll definitely cover some of these other topics in greater detail in episodes to come. So thank you so much for listening. If you want to check out any of our programs, if you're interested in working with us, all of our different programs are on our website, which is bestfitbody.com. And if you have any questions or you want to chat about your goals and maybe some of your struggles to figure out what program may be right for you before signing up, we're so happy to talk with you about that beforehand. And you can shoot us an email at bestfitbody@gmail.com. And we look forward to working with you, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Sharing more information.
Awesome.
Stay well.